Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is currently 7:12 on a chilly Friday morning, December 20th, counting down to Christmas Day. And if you average your temperatures right now, yeah, about the mid-40s, I think it'd be accurate. Highs today of 64. Saturday, tomorrow, highs of 53, so cooler, 57 on Sunday. Then, unfortunately, warming toward Christmas. 66 for a high on Monday, 70 for a high on Tuesday, Christmas Eve. Then Wednesday, Christmas Day, turning kind of rainy. 70% chance for showers and highs of 72. And then it cools off a little bit, and who knows what New Year's Eve could be like. Liable to be 80 degrees, or it's liable to be 100, or maybe it could be 20. That's the way the weather is here, right? Somebody texted and said, Tommy, you sound angry. I'm not angry. It's just that, you know, it's December 20th. We all want to talk about Christmas and be happy, but these goofballs in Washington, no disrespect, we're getting ready to talk to Senator Bill Cassidy about that, and I didn't really feel like talking about that, but we do because it's important. And we were talking about the differences between government and business and how people want government to be run like a business. But I think one of the problems with that is that businesses are run to do what? Make a profit, right? And to be run most cost efficient, and not necessarily, and I would ask you to be honest with yourself here, to say if the businesses that are the more successful, let's talk about Walmart, for example, just to pick a big business, AT&T, is customer service their number one priority? Twitter, is that customer service their number one priority? And I ask you that because government, really, their number one service should be, their number one priority should be customer service, right? And serving the public, because that's what government does. Senator Bill Cassidy joins us now. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing really well, Tommy. Yeah, Merry Christmas and just happy holiday season.
Yeah, same to you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. What's going on with this spending bill? Because I got to tell you, I don't know who's on whose side here. Conservatives voting against the president's plan. I don't know where it is in the House. Steve Scalise tweeting that 90% of Democrats voted for, I don't know, something with the Republic. Who's on what side? What the hell's going on here, Senator?
Yes.
All of the above, huh? Check them all.
All of the above. So, you know, I mean, you know the facts. Johnson and Steve Scalise have negotiated a deal that they thought I could pass the House and the Senate.
Well, actually, Senator, let me slow you down a little bit, because I think with Christmas sometimes maybe people don't know the facts and they want to put white hats and black hats on people because it's easy for us to understand and make sense of, but it's not always the truth. So go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is almost totally gray.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Scalise and Johnson were negotiating a deal and with Democrats. And it gotten to a point they thought they had something that could pass. There was good things in it that were more than just funding the government, to be honest. For example, reauthorizing the National Flood Insurance Program so it doesn't expire today, which is nice because if you have a flooding claim, you want to get paid. Mm-hmm. So it had things a little bit extra like that. And the way it is in Washington, in order to get some things, you have to give some things. And so there was like rebuilding the bridge in Maryland, which I wouldn't have done. But I'm also, you know, I'm married. Sometimes I give a little bit to get a little bit.
Well, and Maryland's like a state in the country as well, right?
It is. Yeah. Now, you know, we can argue about that. But Elon woke up at like 4 a.m. and started tweeting things that weren't true.
Exactly.
For example, that it had money for Ukraine. It does not have money for Ukraine. So it was fundamentally getting the government through for 3 months because President Trump did not want a complete budget passed. He just wanted things passed for 3 months. And so he got it done for 3 months. and it did things like reauthorize the National Flood Insurance Program besides that. And so Elon starts tweeting about 4, 5, 6 hours later, and Trump, you know, whatever, decides to weigh in too and says he wants to do away with the debt ceiling. Now, as far as I know, this is the first time that demand had been publicly made. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Now, I'll tell you why Trump wants it, because when the debt ceiling comes around in June, Chuck Schumer is going to use it to negotiate. OK, mm-hmm. That's just the way Washington is. But there's about 40 House Republicans that until June comes will not vote to do away with the debt ceiling. So when you say who's on what side, the debt ceiling put 40 people who typically vote no on everything from the Republican Party. But they were, you know, but you can talk them into voting yes if you just like everything just right. Boom. They're no. Chuck Schumer's team is no. So then you got a marrying of the people who on the Republican side who are the most fiscal hawks. And then you've got the Democrats, who are the least fiscal hawks, on the same team.
That's what Trump confuses me. Say that part again right there.
You got the 40 most fiscally conservative Republicans, and you got the Democrats, who are not fiscally conservative, as a rule.
Right.
And you put them together, and they're on the same team now.
How did that happen again? Tell me politically how that, Senator, tell me again how that politically happened, because I'm having a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm. So Trump, after Elon begins to tweet that this is a bad deal, saying things that aren't true, no money for Ukraine, but he's saying that. It gets everybody fired up. Trump wakes up and he starts to tweet, too. And he says that bad spending deal, it should primary people who are going to support it. And he wants to do away with something called the debt ceiling. Mm. And the debt ceiling is a limit on how much the federal government can borrow.
He wants to do away with it, meaning there would be no ceiling on how much a government can borrow?
Correct.
Well, that would hardly seem to be fiscally responsible.
Well, you can argue that the federal government's going to end up borrowing what it needs to borrow anyway.
Yeah.
But the fiscal conservatives will say that, wait a second, this is a point of reevaluation. Yes, we may end up increasing it, but it makes us pause and say, are we really spending money on things that we should be spending money on? How do we consider it?
Let me jump in one more time, Senator, because this is complex stuff. When it comes to debt ceiling, is this money that is already allocated? Is it akin to we're going to go out and buy something, or is it akin to it's already been spent, we just need to honor our obligation now and pay for it?
Both.
Okay.
So, for example, Social Security is going to make payments to Social Security beneficiaries. And we know that every day 10,000 people become eligible for Social Security. That's not an exaggeration. That's kind of a rough number. So we're going to pay that money. But on the other hand, it may also be that we need a new ship for the Navy, which might be being built in Terrebonne Parish, for example. And we're going to pay for that new ship. And so we got to borrow money to pay for that new ship, too. So it's both that which has already been allocated. We have allocated money to pay Social Security benefits. We're going to pay them. We got to pay them. We're obligated to pay them. We should pay them. And we need to buy a new ship for the Navy. So it's both.
Okay, let me take a break, Senator, if we can, right here for traffic, and then we'll pick it up when we come back. One other thing I want to talk to you about is I just want to pick your brain because this has come up a lot this morning. You are a physician. You run your own practice, right? So you are, in essence, a businessman. You've been in the Senate a long time. I just want to talk to you about the difference between running a business and running a government, because I think people sometimes want government run like a business, but I don't know if they really do, because if you look at a business like Walmart, which is profit-oriented, customer service is not always at the top of the list. So if you want the government run like a business, you might be saying you don't mind waiting in long lines to check out. That's a gross oversimplification. I realize we can pick it up. We come back. It is currently 7:26, talking to Senator Bill Cassidy. Senator, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the bill that your bill to boost Social Security benefits. Talk about that, if you would, please, sir.
Yeah, so it's called Windfall Elimination Provision and Government Pension Offset. In 1993, Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich passed a law. They said, okay, if you are a state or local employee and you pay into your pension fund instead of paying into Social Security, we're going to decrease your amount of social benefit a little bit because you're not paying in for your entire work life. That would be fair. But
They over-penalized. They way over-penalized. So much so that when it came to a death benefit, it would sometimes have been better for the widow to have not have worked, and she would have gotten a richer death benefit after her husband's death than had she worked in teaching you math in high school. And so for 93, since 93, we've known this is a problem. No one has ever been able to get it fixed. We are going to fix it today. We're going to finish fixing it today and make it right. And 30 years is too long, but boom, we're doing it today.
Hey, man, getting something done. Along the lines of getting something done, how do you see this government shutdown thing playing out? You know the politics involved. You know the players involved. It's crazy that you got, and if you're just tuning in, you got the 40 most conservative Republicans actually on the same side as the Democrats. Elon Musk in the middle of this, tweeting a lot of misinformation and disinformation, stuff that's outright false, and getting people all riled up and talking about primary this and that. Tell me, Senator, you're a reasonable guy. What do you see this playing out? How do you see it?
Tommy, I'm planning on being here through the weekend and maybe through Christmas. Mm. I don't know how it plays out. Obviously, President Trump has tried to weigh in to get something done now. And so they had a vote last night, but it failed.
Where does that weigh in, though, Senator? Real quick, where does that weigh in with people wanting to get home for the holidays? Because they are human beings.
You know, when you got people, you know, of course people want to get home for the holidays. Yeah. Now, but, you know, if you're Elon and you're down in, you know, some really nice place, mm-hmm. And you're tweeting and getting people fired up, you know, you don't have as much pain, if you will. I'd like to think that people wanting to keep programs in place, like making sure the National Flood Insurance Program doesn't shut down, for example. So if somebody floods from something, we have a benefit there for them right now, that would motivate people even more than getting home for Christmas. I want to get home for Christmas. I really want to make sure that our federal government works for somebody who's in need.
Well,
that's
took an
my
oath.
Big priority.
You took an oath and you're honoring it. Real quick, let me ask you, we just got a minute left. You're a businessman. You own your own medical practice. You're also a senator in the U.S. government. Compare and contrast people when they say they want to run the government like a business. Is that really a possible thing to do?
Well, in some aspects it is. So, for example, do I think that federal employees in Washington, D.C. should be working from home and you literally don't have a way to account for how well they're working? Mm-hmm. That's established by government accounting office. Mm-hmm. No, that's wrong. That needs to run like a business. On the other hand, a business would not provide benefits for a widow. Maybe it does through its pension fund, but we have widows, we have widowers, we have people who are mentally deficient, and we have a safety net program set up for them. And frankly, everybody listening in some way will have a loved one or they themselves benefit. Mm-hmm. Business doesn't do that, government does. So it's kind of a mix of responsibility.
And you got a lot more stakeholders involved. If I choose not to do business with Walmart, I don't have to. If I choose not to see Dr. Cassidy, I don't have to. But I do have to deal with the U.S. government, right? Or the U.S. government has to deal with me.
Yeah, I mean, like, only one person has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Senator, thank you for your time, and I hope we talk to you again soon. You have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I hope you get home for the holidays, all right?
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah for or Hanukkah.
And everything else. Absolutely. Throw it all. Whatever you celebrate, God bless you. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa. It's time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union.